the Brutally Honest newsletter that I share every week. So I think like the best thing I found out during 2023 was using actually a social media posts or Spark ads as like a UA videos. So basically what it means, if you have a game and your game is like social media presence, Instagram, TikTok, organic posts, basically. So I take those posts, look into engagement and picking up like
this is a no bullshit gaming show where we talk about games and their revenue in great detail, powered by our ad monetization, game design, and user acquisition triple threat expertise. Welcome to the 2.5 Gamers, the unfiltered truth served with a side of giggles. Let's not forget this is a 4 a.m. conference discussion vibe, so let's not take it too seriously. Tune in now and stay 2.5 steps ahead of the gaming industry.
Welcome to another episode of the Double Tap Podcast. Today we are joined by Matej. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello. All good. I mean, it's better now. I had terrible holidays. I got COVID just before the Christmas Eve. So I was lying in the bed with COVID at the Christmas Eve. And then my wife got it afterwards. My daughter got sick last week, 40 Celsius fever. So it wasn't like very good end of the year and start of the year. But now it's getting better. It's getting better.
You're getting that out of the way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like she started right now again, like going to kindergarten, so she's gonna be sick next week again, I guess. So like that's, you know, family life. All the fun stuff.
I also realize I failed to intro you, Matej. So for anyone who isn't already familiar, shame on you, but Matej is a UA consultant and more importantly the host or co-host of the 2.5 Gamers podcast. So yeah, very happy to have you on here today.
Thank you very much.
And before we get into the meat of it, disclaimers out the way. So the content in this episode is designed for educational and entertainment purposes only. This is not investment advice. The opinions shared by Alex and I are our own. And we don't have, unfortunately, investments in Matej, but if you are open, then like 100%, I think we're buying.
Very good. So it's mainly for entertaining purposes and then a little bit of knowledge here and there. I think it's going to be like that. That's how I like to drive our podcast as well. So let's see how it goes.
Nice. So something we like to ask all of our guests, what are you currently playing at the moment?
Playing? Oh, so I just finished playing, well, not finished, but we are kind of reviewing different games on our podcast. So now we kind of diving really deep into hybrid casual. So I was playing Tower War from Say Games. And now kind of trying to play Royal Match for some reason. I don't know why, but Dream Games. Because it's one thing, they do UA very efficiently, apparently, and they're kind of spending a shit ton of money. So I just want to know like what is the overall onboarding flow from seeing the creatives, then what's happening in the screenshots and the store, and then what's actually in the game. And then I started playing Dream Detective from Century Games. So Century Games is a company from China which is now doing really, really well.
Definitely. I'm such a fan. I'm such
earned
a fan.
More than like 500 millions, and that's IIP only. It's in-app purchases only, and it's sensor tower data. So it might be like 2x that with ads and all of it. And they just released one new game, and immediately got my attention because there is like different creatives. Well, it's a little bit fake, I would say, but they are kind of easing the onboarding with the mini games, which are in the creatives. But yeah, it's like, you know, all the UA fun stuff. So we had like a yacht party in South Korea, which is absolutely bizarre. And then like we invited a few people there, and then like the CMO of Century Games came there, and we had like amazing discussion. So you know, like you are actually talking to a pro immediately. So it was like one of the best discussions I had, and then afterwards we ended up working together.
How do you know you're talking to a pro? Like 10 seconds, 30 seconds into the conversation? If you're talking about like UA or...
Yeah, because you know, like you mentioned five games, and he knows every game, every creative, and he mentions 10 more. Like, hey, well, you should be looking at this, this, and that, because we already like working. I was like, wow, okay, like immediately.
Did he point you, or did they point you in the direction for like any new games that you hadn't seen before, where you thought?
Yeah. So we were just like discussing this weird TikTok. What was it like? A viral hit, like coloring book or something. It was like a meme. I was like, have you seen like what's happening in like US store? Like, this is like a coloring book up there. It's like, oh yeah, I've heard like something is, you know, there's like TikTok viral theme or whatever meme is happening. It's like immediately shoots up the game into top one US. I was like, okay, I need to check this. And that was just like first sentence, like, okay, well, this is my guy.
Love it.
You know.
Okay, cool. I'm glad you brought up TikTok. We have some questions on that later today. But maybe if we could just kind of ground the audience. Curious if you could talk a little bit about maybe like your favorite UA hack for 2023. Maybe something that, you know, you've tested out a lot of hypotheses and it got to a point where you're like, hey, this is maybe one of the staples of 2023. And, you know, if you don't want to share anything super, under the hood, any special secret sauce, then maybe something that you liked using in 2023 that you think might be sufficiently deprecated going into 2024?
No, I always share as much as I can in the Brutally Honest newsletter that I share every week. So I think like the best thing I found out during 2023 was using actually a social media posts or Spark ads as like a UA videos. So basically what it means, if you have a game and your game is like social media presence, Instagram, TikTok, organic posts, basically. So I take those posts, look into engagement and picking up like one, two or three best posts from with like the highest engagement. So like all of like likes, shares, comments, putting it into the UA campaigns, immediately works like crazy. And that was like, wow, okay. It sounds kind of logical because you kind of have already like this like proof of concept from the players or like your fans, like, oh well, this is actually working for them, so it should work in the campaigns as well. And that was like, man, that was performing super well.
And what kind of turned you on to that idea? Was it, again, something that was just like a hypothesis that you were testing out, or you kind of saw tidbits of this somewhere else in maybe another
game? Facebook and TikTok is changing quite a lot, like in terms of like this, like how dashboard looks like and the platform. And suddenly I was like, oh, well, I can actually bring Instagram posts into the campaigns. Like, okay, that wasn't here before. let's try that out. And then boom, like performance I've seen in a long time was really, really, really working well. So, you know, like I'm all about like experimentation with different things, and I try to explore ways that, you know, might be a little bit crazy, but you never know. The same thing happens, or like kind of feels for like the creative. Sometimes the creative that looks like shit works amazingly well.
Do you think that like the reasoning behind experimenting, especially when it comes to like different non-typical platforms, is that kind of a consequence of like post IDFA, and now everyone's experimenting with like other ways to connect with the audience?
Could be, yeah. But I think like after the IDFA kind of disappeared, obviously, people tried to run a lot of Android campaigns because that was kind of easy to evaluate. And it's still like on the iOS, you can run quite efficient campaigns. You need to think and like kind of have different kind of optics for evaluation. It's not going to be the same thing, but it's still possible. And yes, of course, like people are trying to experiment with these social media, whatever else, different UA networks, and even like maybe influencer campaigns and all of like non-traditional UA, let's call it that way.
And is that something that you plan to test more over 2024? Like, do you plan to test out these like alternative kind of distribution channels, like maybe an influencer, or like you suggested earlier, maybe like a TikTok?
Well, TikTok is one of my top channels, so it's definitely gonna be maybe even higher in the ranks for me in 2024, actually moderating a panel discussion at PGC in London in 2 weeks about launching games on TikTok. It's very important. But yeah, like if we had this recording like 2 years ago, we wouldn't be talking about TikTok at all. So yes, TikTok is definitely there. The thing is, you can experiment to a certain extent. Depends on what kind of budget you have and all of these like different kind of requirements and restrictions. I usually have like few, let's call it like traditional channels, and then 20-30% of the budget goes to like experimenting with new channels, influencers, and whatever else, like crazy ideas in creatives and these things.
When it comes to TikTok discovery, how does it work in the West? Because you know, I have a bunch of Chinese friends, and when they're like scrolling through TikTok, they essentially have a live streamer who'll be playing these games, and then you click through and then we'll start playing, and then there's engagement on that end from the content creator themselves. Is it the same in the West, or is it a bit different?
It's a little bit different. It's definitely like this trend is growing here as well, and like some of the people are kind of trying to experiment with these, let's call it live games. It's amazing, and apparently it's not that hard to build, but it's not at the same level as in Asia, that's for sure. But the engagement is there. I mean, look, TikTok is a huge channel for UA, and for organic kind of reach is also quite big. And honestly, like we tried experimenting with TikTok. Well, I tried experimenting with TikTok with 2.5 gamers podcast and like a few different clips. And we are getting more and more views out of nowhere. I mean, the algorithm is amazing. So like, well, okay, I will take that.
Okay, so to move the lens a little bit onto Web3, as that's a topic that we cover quite a lot in this podcast, yeah. Are there any sort of standout issues that you see specifically around Web3 games, or is it kind of a level playing field at this point?
Well, issues, well, like there are issues also on mobile and then the web as well. With Web3, it's kind of like slightly different issues. For example, what I see, well, obviously analytics is just like, well, an interesting channel for everybody, and Web3 even more. What I also just kind of found out that there are some ways how you can, well, I guess, trick the system for like getting better results on DappRadar and all of the like different tools. It's like interesting things that, you know, like if you don't know, then you don't know, and it's kind of shame. So it's like, so these are like a little bit nuances here and there that is kind of important to know. But in terms of like the UA and Web3, I've tried to experiment and work with different companies, I know, for 2 or 3 years already, like in terms of Web3, and like everybody's like, oh, well, you build a community and all like the Twitter spaces and all of the fun stuff, Telegram groups and chats and Q&As and all of this, which is great, but it's not scalable basically. So then like this is one, it's exactly the same as with experimenting with like the influencers and all of this. You need to have like core pillars of the UA strategy, which can be, again, TikTok, YouTube is working well for like web-based games. And honestly, Web3 now is what, like Web 2.5 or something. You are also starting to have the mobile versions of the game. So it's a combination of the traditional UA and these, like, again, like communities and then Twitter spaces. And then like, there are also, I think, from what I heard, the UA Web3 channels where you target the wallets and all of this, which again is interesting on paper, but then like where's the inventory, and it's not as simple as like everybody's talking about. But yeah,
something that has been a common topic of discussion recently is how traditional like Web2 UA metrics aren't exactly one-to-one with Web3. A good example would be like monthly active users, or daily active users, because when you introduce like a financial or earning component,
it's like the retention as well.
It's like farmers of like, you know, thousands of mobiles in somewhere.
Yeah, like, you know, I remember there was this article about, oh, well, Axie Infinity has day 90 retention, like 70%. Like, yes, because it's work. It's like, how can you even, you can't even compare that to normal, like, well, not normal, but to mobile KPIs. Because that's like, you have financial incentive and you play because you want to earn that. Like, that's comparing apples to oranges, basically.
Is there anything that gets you excited about kind of like introducing blockchain Rails, especially when it comes to UA? For a little bit of context, for example, I know that there's some ad networks that are starting to integrate like rewarded ads. Is there anything that's on your radar?
So I think the blockchain and then Web3 adds another layer on in terms of the LTV on top of what you can earn basically in Web2 games, which for me kind of opens up more opportunities to spend more money, because, you know, if I have LTV of 2 and then I add a layer of, let's say, an additional $1 or $2, which can be done only on blockchain, then like I suddenly can spend double the money and still, you know, get the money back efficiently. So that's for me, that's important, like most important part. Obviously, from the game design point of view, you can do crazy shit on the chain, but I mean, I don't know.
I'm curious on your take on this. So in Web2, right, you're hunting for whales, you're doing UA to try to find some of the bigger spenders. In Web3, right, distribution is a bit of a nightmare. And you could argue that the whales of Web2 are not quite there yet in Web3. And instead, the whales are actually the guys that are a little bit more financially motivated. So, or the ones that already exist on chain and maybe are speculating or trading on chain. So I'm curious, from a UA perspective, do you think through creating the putting together different UA campaigns or different creatives to target maybe a Web3 type of whale? And does that change kind of your design philosophy when you're kind of putting together these campaigns for games?
So there is like a different kind of personas for Web2 versus Web3. Like you said, like the whale that is kind of playing a mobile game and spending shit ton of money, it's not the same whale in Web3, because yeah, like you have different motivation. You just want to maybe flip coins and whatever, just try to speculate. And then that's like the different, of course, like you have different types of players on Web3. And then that definitely needs to go into the creative process and like how you need to think about the creatives. But when you drop, like we were kind of like discussing like how it's still about the traditional UA kind of channels and logic, because then you have like these Web2 gamers, which are maybe Web3 enthusiasts or like trying to experiment a little bit, and then eventually they can become whales in Web3 as well. So you need to still like bring them in this traditional way. So I think like thinking about like Web3 personas and translating that to Web2 kind of creatives makes sense. But that Web3 personas might be leveraging like building the community in your Discord or maybe Telegram groups or whatever else a little bit more than like the traditional UA, let's call it that way.
And at what part in kind of like the, you know, the go-to-market plan is, do you think this becomes a little bit more of a material factor in kind of addressing that new type of whale that now exists in Web3?
I think there's still a lot of education that needs to be done in terms of like switching from Web2 to Web3 and like kind of motivating players to actually make this switch. And so that's, I think, like the one part is like for me as a UA person to actually bring those players in on the traditional UA side. And then let's say I would work with the community managers and like all these like people that are kind of like working with the community to educate them a little bit more on the side of like how to leverage the Web3 type of technology a little bit more. So that's when this becomes like very important thing, like on the UA side. As soon as you mention anything Web3 related on the channels, you're fucked. You can just forget about UA immediately. It's like, it's really like still quite like Wild West. You need to stay away from any Web3 terminology. Like now, TikTok is again moving back to this. Like Facebook said, it's okay, but it's not okay. The only channel which is fine is like Google, and that's it. So it's like, you need to be very careful about like what you kind of like say and like, and showcase as well.
Are there any ways in which you subtly tease on those channels that a game might have Web3 elements, but you don't outright explicitly say NFTs or something else?
Yeah, I think digital assets is fine. Yeah, you know, like you can find these different words for the same thing. Each, if you mention digital assets, that can be fine. Like, you know, because it can be whatever. Digital asset can be whatever you can think about. But you need to be very careful about NFTs and blockchain, even in the store description. It's just it's ridiculous. They check like all the onboarding flow. So it's creatives, text in the creatives, and then whatever you have in the store as well.
Is there anything that maybe not in today's environment, but at some like optimistically sort of speculating that sometime in the future, would there be some elements of like a Web3 UA strategy that might leak over into traditional UA?
I think the building the community is just perfect example, because right now, like a lot of different companies like kind of found out like, hey, well, this is actually quite good idea to build a community around my games. So and like ask questions, of course, like they're not, the motivation is not exactly the same, but still, like, do you have mid-core games that are kind of building this already for some years, and it's helping them to just, you know, build the game, like build new content as well. So like this is definitely something that, you know, is spilling over from Web3 to Web2, and it's really important. It wasn't done that much. Maybe back in the days in like Facebook groups and all like old stuff, but now, yeah, with Discord and even Telegram and maybe even like other platforms, it's quite interesting.
To follow up on that point about community, is there a world where the more casual a game is, that need for a community is still there? Or is it still something that like mid-core?
You can't even imagine the Facebook groups I mentioned. Redecor, all the like match free games, they have Facebook groups because the, you know, female 35 plus, they're on Facebook and they are talking about the game there. You see, it's a super large groups, really, really, really efficient for the casual games as well. And it's, oh man, like those are the core players basically for casual titles. So yeah, it's definitely there, and it's important. Yeah.
That's super interesting, actually.
And when you say they're really efficient, what do you mean by that?
So it's a group where you have your best players, basically, and there's like no moderator. So they're kind of moderating themselves, and they're like exchanging ideas, different things. Obviously, like they're developers there, but they're not actively participating. They're just observing like how, like what the hell is happening in that group. Hey, it's like, it's really wild. You would be surprised.
So moving on, you mentioned previously how there's like some unique Web3 UA incentives of like, you know, free NFT mints or token launch or whitelist grinding, that type of thing. What are your thoughts on them? Do you think there are some better than others? Are some of them just trends that are going to go out of style very quickly?
Yeah, I think like airdrops, that was like a really interesting thing that started to pop up. And then, I don't think the free mints are kind of very questionable, I think, still. What I would say, I like all of those when it's kind of creating a synergy. If you do only one thing, I don't think it makes too much of sense. So like putting all the pieces together, is good basically for like the UA kind of like creating the hype, because that can also help on the UA side of things. So a combination of everything. I think like now I don't hear about airdrops too much. I hear about free mints a lot for some reason, but airdrops kind of like disappeared basically for some reason. But it's just kind of like, okay, well, you open a wallet and then suddenly you have a couple of NFTs there. Of course you want to talk about it. That was kind of nice.
You mentioned how you think some of the Web3 incentives are synergistic. And I'm curious, you know, do you think they're synergistic with each other? Or do you think they're synergistic with some of the Web2 kind of, or just more traditional UA campaigns? And if so...
Well, I think both. Like, because they're synergistic between each other on the Web3 side, but then like that goes over to all the UA stuff. Like there's also like the example of you run TV basically in the UK, US. Well, US is quite a big country, so you need to spend a lot. But let's say you run a TV in the UK, that has an effect on your UA campaigns because of the branding reason. So if you think about like all these like different Web3 elements that create kind of like hype around it, and that can also spill over to like the UA, like, you know, you get more engagement on the creatives, which creates then better slot in auctions, so which drives down the CPIs and all of kind of like creates a really nice effect.
And I'm curious, back to kind of our earlier conversation about the like delineating the nuance between a Web2 well and maybe a Web3 well. I'm curious, are there certain things of a like certain characteristics of a Web3 well's wallet that you would be uniquely tracking? So in other words, maybe this person doesn't, you know, doesn't have really high retention for like an idle game, but maybe they are extremely active in trade volumes for a gaming token. I'm curious, is that something that you would be willing to experiment with in terms of trying to go out and target that type of user?
I mean, I would need to like get as much information as I can and then try to find like what is the pattern that kind of works well for me in the UA. But yeah, I would definitely be experimenting with a lot of different shit there are endless possibilities and combinations. That's what's kind of exciting. So yeah, definitely, yes.
So aside from building a community, alternative UA platforms and distribution platforms, is there anything else that you're excited for going into the new year?
Honestly, in terms of like UA, like not that many things changing. So, I mean, there is going to be like new Google privacy sandbox stuff. Nobody knows when. So when people ask me this question, like, well, I'm not that excited too much like for new things because not that many things is changing in terms of like the UA channels or like optimizations on the campaign side. Like we are basically at the end game, in the end game. What I'm excited about is like trying different creatives and different concepts for different games, which I try to do now, you know, like all fake ads, which is like mini games I mentioned. It's and the combination of that versus the actual game. So whatever works in UA, implemented in the onboarding in the game. And this is something that I'm very excited about. And like, I think like I can do a little bit more with like the companies I work with. It's obviously not as easy as it's set, right? So it's easier said than done. But that's like, that's where we are heading. It's the thing is like you have multiple kind of games within one game. So you have the idle mechanics, you have then maybe strategy, then maybe you have the match free elements, you have mini games, you have hyper casual games within one game. And then you can use all of these in the creatives and then like onboard different types of players into the game. So like that's something which is like super, super exciting. In terms of like the changes, in terms of like the how the UA works, not that much. Yeah, well, I know I'm the UA guy and I'm shitting on UA right now, but yeah, it's how it works.
Thank you very much, Matej. This has been an excellent episode.
Learn well, more, yeah. It's Matej. It's Matej. I will give. It's Matej.
I did so well. I was doing.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Well.
Yeah, I'm fine till now. It's fine. Yeah, don't worry. You don't need to cut it out.
We won't. We'll keep it in.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it has been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.